ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Sixth Canto, Chapter 9, Text 23.
Yasyo du shringe jagatim svanavam manur yatha bhadya tatara durgam saeva nastvastra bhayad durantat Tratashritan varicharopi nunam.
The Manu named King Satyavrata formerly saved himself by tying the small boat of the entire world to the horn of the Matsya avatar, the fish incarnation. By the grace of the Matsya avatar, Manu saved himself from the great danger of the flood. May that same fish incarnation save us from the great and fearful danger caused by the son of Tvashta.
Sambhurapi samyamam pas yudirnavatormi ravaikarale eko ravindat patitastatara tasmad bhayad yena sanostupadaha.
In the beginning of creation, a tremendous wind caused fierce waves of inundating water. The great waves made such a horrible sound that Lord Brahma almost fell from his seat on the lotus into the water of devastation. But he was saved with the help of the Lord. Thus, we also expect the Lord to protect us from the dangerous condition.
Ya eka isho nijamayayana sasarja yenanu srajama vishwam bayam na yasyapi purasamihata pashyama lingam prataga isha maninaha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created us by his external potency and by whose mercy we expand the creation of the universe, is always situated before us as the Supersoul, but we cannot see his form. We are unable to see him because all of us think that we are separate and independent gods. Purport. Here is an explanation of why the conditioned soul cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Even though the Lord appears before us as Lord Krishna or Lord Ramchandra and lives in human society as a leader or king, the conditioned soul cannot understand him. Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashritam. Rascals, mudhas, deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking him an ordinary human being. However insignificant we are, we think that we are also God, that we can create a universe, or that we can create another God. This is why we cannot see or understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Lingameva Pashyamaha Kadachit Abhimanas Tu Devanam api sanniva praya kaleshu nastyeva taratamyena sopitu. We are all controlled to various degrees, but we think we are God. That is why we cannot understand who God is or see him face to face.
Though the demigods, in fear of Tvashta, a son of Tvashta, Vritrasura, we're remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Specifically, they remembered the Meenavatar, the fish incarnation, who saved Satyavrata and the Vedas by taking the form of a fish. We can't expect much help from a fish, but Krishna, in the form of a fish, can do everything. Whether he's a fish or a tortoise or any form, he has full power to protect his devotees and vanquish the demons. Pratranaya sadhunam vinashaya tradushkutam. So they were remembering the Lord and depending upon the Lord, Ashratan, as his surrendered servants under his shelter, thinking that as long as we're dependent on the Lord will protect us. They make an important statement here. Pashyamalingam pratagisha manina. The conditioned souls, although the Lord is present before them always, Jagadavyaktamurtina. He's everywhere. Mayatatam idam sarvam. Jagadavyaktamurtina. But he's not manifest. Why is he not manifest to us? Because Pashyama. Na Pashyama, we can't see him because Pratak Ishamanina. Ishamanina means thinking of ourselves as controllers. Isha means the controller. Finally, Isha means God because he's the real controller. Every one of us is controlled, but the Lord is not controlled by anyone. He's Swarat, independent. He's the controller of everything. And we're all controlled by him, but we're thinking ourselves pratak, independent, and thinking ourselves controllers. There's no question of being independent. Pratak means separate. We're not separate. We're integrated. We're eternally the energy of the Lord, eternally part of the Lord, mamivam shajiva loke. But we're thinking of ourselves as separate. Or, looking at it another way, we have a separate interest. We have a separate interest. In the state, everyone should have the same interest, the welfare of the country. If someone has a separate interest, like the enemy's interest, for example, why does he have the enemy's interest? The enemy pays him something. So he thinks it's in my interest to be treasonous toward my country. By having a separate interest, I'll gain so much. So he has a separate interest. Although he's in the country, he develops a separate interest for his own sense gratification. And the result is, if he's caught, very severe punishment. So, pratak, we're thinking that we're separate from Krishna. And we have our own separate interests, our own independent interests. Just as a child sometimes wants to be independent. He's not meant to be independent, but if he thinks, let me be independent, then he'll suffer. So the living entity falsely thinks of himself as independent, falsely desires to be independent, and falsely thinks himself powerful and able to control. There's one incident. We were at an airport with Srila Prabhupada, and I think Prabhupada was leaving, or he was leaving because we were waiting with him. And so many devotees were there, among them one lady had a little child, you know, in diapers, small child. So the child started to wander around, You know, he started to go off and explore. So Prabhupada said, oh, he is very brave. Then after the child took a few steps, you know, big airport, so many people, big people. He took a few steps, he looked around, he didn't see his mother, and his face began to crumple, and he began to cry. So Prabhupada said, that's our position. That we think of being independent and doing whatever we like, but as soon as we get some independence, we're immediately in difficulty. Well, that's our situation. So the ishamanina, thinking ourselves controllers. Manina means it's not true, but we're thinking that way. Now, I'm in control. Ishwaroham aham bhogi, siddhoham balavan sukhi. I'm perfect. I'm powerful. I'm happy. I'm in control. I can enjoy. Itya jnana vimohita. In this way, one is bewildered by ignorance. Oh, Isha. Isha vasham idam sarvam. Oh, everything belongs to me. I'm Isha. So whatever I can get, that's mine. Or we form a group. This is ours. If I can't get it on my own, then I make alliances. And we say, this is ours. And then later we'll fight among ourselves. This part's mine. No, that part's mine. Isha. The material world, everyone wants to be the controller. And Isha means God. You know, I always wondered in the beginning, Prabhupada said that every one of us wants to become God. I thought, what is that? I don't want to become God. I just want to be, you know, like a happy American sense enjoyer, right? Not, I want to be God. But then if you analyze what is God, God means the controller, God means the enjoyer. So every one of us wants to be God, at least according to our, you know, scope. If I can't be, you know, the Birla God, then at least let me be the, you know, some other lesser God. But let me be God of something. Even the garbage man wants to be the controller of other garbage men. Somehow we want to control. Control our friends or control something. Prabhupada said if one has no one else to control, then he gets a cat or a dog. My dear cat, come here. He's thinking himself the controller. Isha manina. Pratak, separate. And therefore, lingam napashyama, we're not able to see the personality of Godhead, although he's everywhere, and Ishra sarvabhutanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtati. Although he's sitting within the heart, we can't see him. This is our situation. The Supreme Lord is so close, but where we can see so many other things. We can see any external nonsense, but we can't see Krishna. We can Amitabh Bachchan we can see, but we can't see Krishna. So this is our painful situation. So Krishna, because he's not visible to the conditioned vision of the conditioned soul, if someone is looking for him, then he may appear externally as the bona fide spiritual master. Acharya mam vijaniyan. The bona fide spiritual master is as good as Krishna, Sarva Deva Mayo Guru. He's the representative of the Supreme Lord, the controller of all the demigods, or the reservoir, sum total of all the demigods. One should never be envious of him, thinking he's an ordinary human being. Just as one should never be envious of Krishna, thinking that Krishna is an ordinary human being. Our tendency is to be envious, to think that, you know, I'm not such a small nothing. You know, I'm intelligent. I've got some capability. I know what I'm doing. I'm. So, with that mentality, we neglect Avajananti. We neglect the personality of Godhead, or minimize the personality of Godhead, or we neglect the representative of the Lord. And the mind is going on, oh, he's just a this, he's just a that, he's just a this, he's just a that. Or he's an ordinary this, he's an ordinary, he's this, that. A mundane vision. In the Bible also it's mentioned that Jesus came and they said, who is he? He's the son of a carpenter. We know him, he's the son of a carpenter. They were going by their ordinary vision, who's who and what's what, by material calculation. And they didn't see, no, he's representative of God. In this way, we see with our mundane vision. We see with our mundane vision. But the spiritual master has to be seen in terms of his relationship with the personality of Godhead. Or, another way, either we deride the representative of God, or we make ourselves the representative of God. I'm great. I'm practically as good as God. If I get some disciples, then I start thinking, yes, sakshad hari tena samasta shastre. I'm directly the personality of Godhead, descended on earth. Or if I can't pull that off, then I make some nonsense rascal God. Like a child, the way children elect among themselves someone to be king. Then we elect someone, oh, you be the Kalki avatar. We'll elect someone as the Kalki avatar, or we'll accept some Baba as God. In this way, cheating. The conditioned soul, because of not accepting the actual personality of Godhead, accepts some nonsense, or accepts some other person as the personality. Yesterday we were in the airport, someone came and said, oh, I'm from such and such, I'm a follower of such and such. Have you seen our temple? We have a big temple in Delhi, such and such place. This is a picture of our guru, such and such Swami. So I asked him, you know, so what are you teaching? What is the philosophy? So he had the little card, the picture and everything. They thought for a second, what's a philosophy? Yeah. Yes, that we accept such and such Swami as Vishnu avatar. Oh, really? Where is that in Shastra? Then he said, oh, I forget. You'll have to ask one of our, you know, whatever they call them, senior people. So cheaply they accept someone as Vishnu avatar. So mistakenly. I can be Narayan, you can be Narayan, anyone can be Narayan. By, you know, make a movie about me and people will be impressed. Yes, he's Narayan. No. Not like that. Tasmat Shastra Pramanam Te. Karya Karya Vyavastato. Shastra gyatva vidhanoktam karma kartam iharsi. One has to know what to do and what not to do, what to accept and what not to accept by Shastra Praman, evidence from Shastra. I said, we accept Krishna as Bhagavan. He said, yes, yes, ISKCON. I said, no, not ISKCON. Ramanujacharya accepts him, Vishnu Swami Acharya, Madhva Acharya, Shankara Acharya, everyone accepts Krishna as Bhagavan. It's not, you know, it's a sure bet that Krishna is Bhagavan. Now, you're Bhagavan, we'll have to talk to your Mahatma and see what it was that you forgot that he knows that in the Shastra or something. But Krishna, everyone knows he's Bhagavan. So we're engaged in the service of Krishna. So the bona fide spiritual master never claims to be God. He never shows, oh, I've produced some gold, I've produced some ash, some Shivalingas come out of my mouth, so I'm God. God is not a cheap magician. We have a god brother, P.R.E. Mohan, he's a magician. He knows how to do these things too. So it's only by Krishna's mercy that he appears from within as the Paramatma and from without as the bona fide Acharya. It's by Krishna's mercy. Some place in Chaitanya Charitamrita said that suppose there's the ocean and there's a tortoise in the ocean, and someplace there's a log floating on the ocean, the log has a hole in it, and the tortoise comes up for air and puts his head through the hole. Now, what are the chances of that? Big ocean, little tortoise, so many things floating. So such a rare opportunity that one comes in touch with a bona fide spiritual master. To come in touch with a cheap nonsense rascal, that's easy. There's lots of them. They come in all colors and shapes. But bona fide spiritual masters, not such an easy thing. So by the mercy of Krishna, such a great Acharya appeared as the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had appeared 500 years ago, but Sakalaneha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. After some time, everything starts to degrade. But by the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, things had sufficiently deteriorated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in its true form was practically lost. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur discovered the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, the British were ruling India and promoting their own brand of British avidya, not ordinary avidya, British avidya, very top grade. And the young men were all attracted, oh, British education. Anything British is good. And this old superstitions and traditions, this is all, you know, a useless thing. But so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur presents that he was also interested in British authors and spiritual leaders and so on. But somehow he came in touch with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he became attracted. He had to search out a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam with great difficulty. And by reading, Chaitanya Charitamrita with great difficulty. And by reading that book, he came to know, oh, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So he became a great stalwart representative of Lord Chaitanya's movement. This was his pastime. He presented the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in proper form, and the mission was taken up by his son, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya very strongly. Srila Prabhupada relates how he first met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Ultadanga in Calcutta. After they offered obeisances, immediately Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you're educated young men. Why don't you spread Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings in English? And then Prabhupada started, gave a counter proposal, because Prabhupada at that time was practically Gandhi's follower. The independence movement was, a very strong force in India at that time, revolutionary force coming up. The idea of driving out the British was taking hold in the imagination of the country, and especially the young men of the country. Prabhupada's classmate was Subhas Chandra Bose, so who later started a whole army to drive out the British. So this idea was there. So Srila Prabhupada said that, what will be the benefit now of your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement? We're a subjugated country. No one will take it seriously. We have to get Swaraj, independence, then we can do something. Independence first, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later. And Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said, defeated me. He was defeated. This is the highest priority. This was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's platform. And everything else is secondary or tertiary or nothing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message is the real need of human society. Not economic improvement, not intellectual speculation, not philanthropy, not independence, not this, not that, not so many things, not anything. The real need of the living being is to revive his relationship with Krishna. Every other need is practically imaginary. We don't need anything other than to reestablish our relationship with Krishna. It's like a child who's lost. He doesn't really need anything. All he needs is to get back home, and all of his needs will be taken care of. If he thinks, I need this, I need that. No, I just need to get back home, that's all. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur presented this very strongly, and Srila Prabhupada recognized at that time that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is in the hands of a very capable person. Although at that time Srila Prabhupada didn't at once join the society, but he recognized that this is the right person. And later, one thing led to another, and Srila Prabhupada became the disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And by his grace, everything is going on from being an unknown movement, practically, or a deprecated old legacy. You know, like in computers, they talk about legacy applications. A legacy application in computers is some old thing that you still have to kind of give a little attention to because of some, old computers or programs that still need it. But, the sooner we get rid of it, the better. It's just a botheration. It's an unwanted legacy application. So, these old superstitions and traditions and
Gaudiya thing, you know. It's, that was the mood at the time. And from that, it's come so far that Krishna consciousness is all over the world. So many temples, so many books, so many languages, so many devotees. Srila Prabhupada always used to give the credit to his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada said actually that practically everything I learned from my father, because Srila Prabhupada appeared in a family of devotees. So he said practically everything I learned from my father. He said, but this I learned from my Guru Maharaj to print books and distribute books. You know that incident at Radhakund, most intimate place. So what instruction did Srila Prabhupada get? It wasn't, you know, all about something going on in Radhakund. If you ever get money, print books. And Prabhupada took that instruction very seriously. And that was his program, actually. He didn't build, when he was in India, he didn't build any temples, didn't recruit many followers. But he was staying in the Radha Damodar temple and writing, producing books, that with great difficulty producing these first three volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the most important book, actually. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually for everyone, Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important book. So Prabhupada produced those first three volumes, and when he had the volumes in hand, Krishna also made the arrangement, and Prabhupada filled up some cases with the trunks, with the books, and went out to spread this message. And it's become more and more successful. So that instruction he got, if you ever get money, print books, and so many other instructions. Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj never compromised. Someone was telling me the other day that his motto was that no friends, all enemies. You know, we don't compromise with, oh, they're philanthropists, that they're nice, or oh, they're scientists, they're kind of something like us, they're also intellectual. No compromise. Everyone's who's not dedicated to devotional service, enemy. No friends. Well, Prabhupada expressed that later. What is that? There's a book that was popular in Prabhupada's time. I'm okay, you're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. And Prabhupada took it, I'm okay, you're not okay. Yes. Because a great acharya sees the difference between Krishna and Maya, sees Maya in all of its forms, however attractively Maya is dressed, still Maya is Maya. Whether dressed as education, or dressed as economic development, or dressed as kindness, or dressed as exploration, or dressed as patriotism, or dressed as something else, it's just Maya again in a new dress. And Maya is Maya. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, even when Maya was dressed as a Vaishnav, then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur could detect, oh, this is Maya dressing like a Vaishnav. That's all. Dushtaman Tumi Kishir Vaishnav. My dear polluted mind, Dushtaman, nonsense mind, Tumi Kishar Vaishnav. What kind of Vaishnav are you? Pratishtara kore, nirjanara kore, taba harinam kevala koitav. Yes, you're sitting in a secluded place, chanting Harinam, just like Haridas Thakur, just like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But why are you chanting? Pratishtara kore. To get a reputation. Oh, he's chanting so many rounds. He's such a big sadhu. He's such a great Vaishnav. Pratishtara kore. What is your Harinam? Kevala koitav. Simply cheating. Simply cheating. You're just making a show. Now, I'm such a Vaishnav. The sahajyas who make a show of ecstasy, who make a show of being immersed in the most confidential loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, even while they've got some other kind of loving affairs going on in the back room. Taba harinam kevala koitav. He didn't give it any credit. Aul, baul, saki beki, jatko shai, so many things. All sahajya. Shruti, smriti, puranari, panchratra, vidim, vina. Vaikantiki, harir bhaktir, utpata, yayava, kolpate. Rupanuga, viruddhapa, siddhanta, dvanta, harane. If it didn't match the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, if it didn't follow in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami, Rupanuga Virud, if it was against the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami, then it's Apasiddhanta. It's not Siddhanta. It's not the actual truth, not the actual conclusion, not the real thing. It's Apasiddhanta. So-called Siddhanta, false Siddhanta, not the real thing. And Apasiddhanta, harane, drive it out. What did they say? Bad money drives away good money. So you have to, it's the business of the government. If there's counterfeit money, you have to get rid of it. Otherwise, you know, who'll know what's real money, what's... So Apasiddhanta, harane. A false so-called Vaishnavism, Maya dressed with tilak and neck beads and japamala. No. What is that in Bhagavatam? Vedyam vastavam atravastu shivadam. To distinguish between reality and illusion. It's difficult. The material world is tricky. Maya is tricky. She's got so many traps. That came in Brihad Bhagavatamrita when Gop Kumar finally got up to the very last shell of the universe. He'd met the presiding deity of earth, the presiding deity of water, presiding deity of fire, presiding deity of air, ether, mind, intelligence. Finally, he got to the very last shell, the shell of Pradhan, and there was Maya herself. So glad that you've come. I know that what you're looking for, and I have everything you want. If you want sense gratification, it's here. If you want intellectual knowledge, it's here. If you want devotional service, I'm the younger sister of Vishnu. I can give it to you. Just stay with me, and everything will be all right. But Maya is so tricky. And if someone says, no, thank you, I'm moving on, it's not over yet, there's still the Brahmajyoti with which you can merge. And although you couldn't become God in the material world because it was too much difficult, too many competitors, it was too hard, now you can merge with God, and in that way there's no difference between God and you. Even though there's nothing left of you, still
In this way, he's caught by the last snare of Maya. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur drove out these misconceptions, sense gratification, mental speculation, prakriti sahaja, so many, this, anything but Krishna. He's established only Krishna. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Very powerfully he promoted this science of devotional service and taking guidance and instruction and inspiration from him, Srila Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So today is the sacred appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's also the disappearance day of Sri Srimad Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, who spread this Krishna consciousness movement, first of all in Orissa, and enriched Krishna consciousness all over the world. He was a school teacher and a married man, but he was thinking, what nonsense am I teaching? And what am I doing with my life? Because he was also born in a family of devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was accustomed to Harinam and the worship of the Lord from his very childhood. He thought, what am I doing? So he left everything. And he began traveling all over the world, not world, all over India, looking for a suitable guru. And he met so many, and he saw that they're all not what he was looking for. So many nonsense rascals, or if they weren't nonsense, anyway, nobody, no suitable person. And he traveled to all holy places. He was living like a sadhu. And finally he came to Vrindavan. He was thinking that in Vrindavan, it was kind of like save the best till last. People eat cake, they save the cherry till the last. He thought, in Vrindavan, certainly I'll get what I'm looking for. So he came to Vrindavan, and he saw some sign, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, founder Acharya's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I think he saw some white sadhus also. He thought, what is this? So he came to the temple and inquired, you know, about the founder Acharya, and found that he was there. So many times Prabhupada wasn't there, but when he came, Prabhupada was there. So he was told that if you want to see Prabhupada, you have to go to such and such secretary. So he went to the secretary, and Prabhupada had just finished his lunch. So Prabhupada said, yes, oh, there's some sadhu who wants to see you. So Prabhupada said, all right. So he came in, offered his dandavats, and explained his situation, that I'm dressed like a sadhu, but I'm not initiated. I'm looking for a bona fide guru. And Prabhupada said, I will give you sannyas. So he was there doing some little seva. Actually, he was staying outside because the devotees were afraid that, you know, that time they're living on this Vrindavan land and everything is just a construction site. Only Prabhupada's house was there. And so many people will come, and they'll come and they'll pick pockets and they'll go and they'll, you know, so many flim-flam people. So they wouldn't let him stay on the property. He was staying outside. Then after some days, some days and some days, then all right, you can stay with us. But then Prabhupada saw that he'd written something in Hindi. So Prabhupada said, oh, then why don't you translate our books into Hindi? Prabhupada saw that it was nice. Why don't you translate our books into Hindi? So they, Prabhupada ordered that give him whatever he needs. Give him, that time the devotees were living here and there, Prabhupada said, give him, you know, just sleeping on the ground. Prabhupada said, give him a room and give him, you know, pencil, paper, give him everything. Devotees are thinking, you know, who's this guy? And why is he getting all the, you know, facility? He just showed up on the scene. He's like a Mayavadi sannyasi or something. They used to call him the Mayavadi sannyasi, you know, just any sadhu's like a Mayavadi sannyasi. So this Mayavadi sannyasi has come, and what, you know, anyway, all right. So gradually he was engaged in that way, and he received initiation. And he several times asked Prabhupada, you've started so many centers, why not start something in Orissa? But Prabhupada never really answered. Then Gaura Govinda Maharaj got to know that Prabhupada is a little sulky about Orissa because the pandas are refusing to allow his disciples to enter. So he's avoiding Puri, he's avoiding Orissa. But later, at some program in Delhi or Calcutta, someplace, someone came forward from Orissa and gave some land in Bhubaneswar. So Prabhupada wrote to Gaura Govinda Maharaj, I guess he was in Vrindavan at that time, that I want you to meet me in, I guess it was Mayapur, and I want you to take charge of this land and do something. So he took charge of that. He went there. It was a jungle only. We generally start our temples in jungles. So it was a jungle only. It was such a bad place that even during the daytime, the rickshawwalas wouldn't want to go there. Such a place. But he went there, he constructed some little hut, and then Prabhupada expressed the desire to go there. Somehow Gaura Govinda Maharaj got a water line and electricity for Prabhupada. And although they'd arranged that a guest house where Prabhupada could stay at a nice place, Prabhupada said, no, I want to stay here. So Prabhupada, this was 1977, Prabhupada stayed in that little hut. It's still there in Bhubaneswar. And Gaura Govinda Maharaj was serving him. And gradually, with the help of Tejas Prabhu and other devotees, that now we have a very beautiful temple in Bhubaneswar. Prabhupada laid the foundation stone for that temple, last temple started in Prabhupada's lifetime. And later, Gaura Govinda Maharaj began traveling all over the world. He said that his mission was to preach to the preachers. To preach to the preachers. What is it that he wanted to preach to the preachers? First of all, that they should serve within the ISKCON society. That no need of going here and there. They should serve within Prabhupada's society. And second thing was that everything was in Prabhupada's books. He wanted to demonstrate that everything means everything is there in Prabhupada's books. There was a third item. Someone familiar? That Prabhupada's given the highest conclusion, the highest truth, the highest attainment. These things Prabhupada, Gaura Govinda Maharaj wanted to preach to the preachers. If the preachers don't know these things, you know, where are we going? So he said his mission was to preach to the preachers. So in his advanced age also, he was traveling very widely, America, Australia, Europe, preaching to the preachers. And very focused on Harinam and Bhagavatam. Harinam and Bhagavatam. Sometimes some of our devotees are famous for their managerial capability or their other such talents. He was specifically, his specific focus was Harinam and Harikatha. That this is our, after all, what are we organizing for? What are we managing for? What is our organization for? What is our life for? It's for these two things. It's for Harinam and Harikatha. Without Harinam, what is the use of us? And without Harikatha, what is the use of us? This is our real mission. And so much wealth is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of our books. We have sufficient Harikatha, endless streams of Harikatha. So he was traveling all over the world, preaching Harikatha from Prabhupada's books. And at the last moment also, when he left this world in Mayapur, just during the time of this time, TBC meetings are going on and devotees are all there. He was requested, some devotees had approached him to speak something about Lord Jagannath, about Rath Yatra, about this meaning of Krishna's pastimes. And while speaking on that subject, then suddenly he said, I can't go on. And in the midst of that, it once disappeared while absorbed in that subject matter. So, a very important day, the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, powerful acharya for establishing the Krishna consciousness movement. And it comes the next generation and next generation. Other devotees are continuing the mission, and very prominent among them, Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj, and his disciples are continuing also Harinam, Harikatha, that Krishna Kathamrita Bindu magazine is coming out, and nice books and publications. So still we're getting that Harikatha and benefiting. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Short, because time is, I think, right, we've extended. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a nice class. Just in this last point about everything being in Srila Prabhupada's books, that I don't disagree with or doubt. But 2 days ago, a particular speaker was on the Vyasasan and mentioned how much help he'd found in a mentoring book.
In which book?
In a mentoring book.
A mentoring book.
And that he'd been thinking and meditating on it for some time without knowing that this book existed. And then found that it validated many of the things and gave much more. So I heard your statement now very clearly about finding everything. Is it that we really now move away from any and every book, where particularly as managers looking for everything to be clear-cut? And everything is in Prabhupada's books, but sometimes you don't find it all in one place.
Yeah, it's not that we've taken a vow that I can't read the Indian Railway schedule because everything is in Prabhupada's books. But unless we read Prabhupada's books, there's no use reading the Indian Railway schedule. Because you won't go anywhere. Actually, if there's so many books, if we don't read them, there's no loss. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if we lose all the books in the world and there's only Srimad Bhagavatam, still there's no loss. So the essence of what we need is in Srila Prabhupada's books. And if something helps us in our service to Srila Prabhupada and our service to the message given in Srila Prabhupada's books, that's all right. But if we think that, no, I have to, you know, Krishna consciousness, unless I go here or there, I won't get it. No, it's there. It just has to be discovered. Is that all right? All right, I think we should end. Tell me, schedules. One more question. Okay. Okay, there is no one more question. Yes.
Here, devotees, they say about Srimad Bhagavat, the purpose of Prabhupada, the Gita is for the common man, and Bhagavatam purpose are more for devotees, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is for Srila Prabhupada's intimate, it gives Prabhupada intimate mood for his disciples. So do you say anything about this? We hear sometimes.
Yeah, I was in charge one time. Because I was editing Prabhupada's books, our BB team in charge gave me a job. Because in book publishing, the larger your print run, the lower your cost. So we had so many books and only, you know, a certain amount of money. So to try to print all the books in large print runs was not possible. You could print either some in small runs and some in big runs or all in medium runs. So the BBT manager had the idea that some books will print in big, big runs and some will print in smaller runs. And especially the books that will be very much appealing to the public or that we really want to, you know, give out in large numbers, Bhagavad Gita, maybe first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Science of Self-Realization. We'll print those in big, big numbers. And some of the books that's maybe more suitable just for the devotees will print in smaller numbers. So he gave me the responsibility of deciding which are for the, when new books come, which should be big runs and which should be small runs. So the first book that came along was Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. So I, you know, I was editing, read through the book, and, you know, the essence of all advice is just ditch everything else, go spend 24 hours a day in Radha Kund, absorbed in, you know, forget New York, forget California, just jump, leave everything behind and go to Radha Kund and spend 24 hours a day in your spiritual body absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna. I thought, well, this does seem like it's more for our own devotees. So we printed, I think, 10,000. And sent the book to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote back, thank you very much for the new book. It's come out very nicely, da-da-da-da-da. But why only 10,000? You should print at least 100,000 and it should be distributed in all the schools and colleges. At that point, I gave up any hope of trying to decide this is for the general public and this is only for the devotees. all the books are for everyone. All right. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Srila Gaur Govinda Maharaj ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare Bol.